Hello and welcome to the 16th episode of the Manx Footy Pod for the 23-24 season. I'm your host, Sam Turton, again standing in for Andy, who's working hard to get himself off the naughty list this week. Joining me is a man whose holiday pictures are now in the hands of Interpol, Tom Kirby.
Hello.
And we're actually very honoured to have you here, Dave, because it's a very busy time of year for you, because you actually are a stand-in Santa.
Well, I mean, I've got the belly for it,
right? So,
we're just need to work on the beard.
Well, can you grow a beard? I've never seen it.
Patchy tail, mate. I mean, look, it's like here, there, and everywhere. It's not a proper one.
Because he can't.
I can't. I've tried.
During the first lockdown, I just let it grow, but it ended up by just had mutton chops, and they looked awful. They looked like a
was that you when you got like the pedal bike to stay at home?
Yeah, that's it. The penny farthing.
You're Bradley Wiggins, mate.
Yeah, that's it.
We also, this week, we're cracking America.
Yes.
We're finally going big. We've got Cam Lee joining us. You know, we're going to talk about First Point USA with you in a little bit. We're also going to talk about Manx football.
Cool.
First off, before we get to that point, Tom, you made it back from Amsterdam.
I did.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you
Christmas
very much.
Miracle.
Everyone seemed shocked that I'm alive. It wasn't that heavy. I was there for the culture.
Well, then you didn't
the culture.
Right, yeah, exactly. You've got a reputation, mate.
I was there for the culture, yeah.
Your mum gave you a warning before you went, didn't she?
She did.
The talk. I went to the tourist. It wasn't the talk that she
No, it was really good. Really good. I'd recommend to everyone to go.
But your trip going wasn't quite as easy, was it?
No, we were stuck in Gatwick. I heard the podcast and Andy seemed like, he won't go, he won't go. So when I did go, I thought, boom. But we were stuck in Gatwick for a night, which wasn't too bad because they had Cobra on draft in the...
Yeah, after several Cobras, you just texted and saying, I'm never leaving Moran again.
So the beers did hit me.
Yeah, but you are back and you've brought biscuits.
I did bring biscuits.
So what have you got? Because is this in honour of Cam Gun we've got Mary on?
I did not think of that, I won't lie. But milk and dark chunky.
They sound good, man.
Stopped off after my haircut. I got a haircut especially for this. So if you're listening to this...
we can't all be as well groomed as Cam, though.
That's true. But speaking of beards, this man's...
This is a good beard going on.
Help yourself to a biscuit.
See, that looks like quite a sort of like,
well manicured. Crack on for later.
Cool. It looks well manicured. Mine just sort of looks trampish.
That's the look you're going for, isn't it, Sam?
Basically, yeah.
I'm going to try. I'll try one of these in a minute. It's the problem being here. You've got to talk your way through it. Yeah. You can't indulge in the biscuits. Also, I want to take a quick moment to address Christmas jumpers. So last week I had my Elf one on. This week I've got my Elf one on.
Classy.
But it's not my Christmas jumper to talk about. It's have you seen the Roy Keane ones that are doing the rounds?
Not yet.
So there's this. So Calum Staley, big friend of the pod, he sent his picture in, and it's celebrate Santa Claus for delivering gifts. That's his job.
Yeah.
In fact, we'll put this over Tom now, so you can see it here. And I saw thanks to Cal for sending that in. Cal's also sent us a half-time scram report from Old Trafford. Which we like a half time scram.
We do. We're all about scram.
But we've got no United fans on. Part it's a contingent, basically. Isn't it?
Yeah. You're a United fan, aren't you?
You're not the only person who's got out of Europe this week.
I'm leaving.
I wish I'd set that up. But yeah, Cam's also sent us a half time scram report, which we're going to share here, which basically just says that his pie was so hot he could stick it in his jacket to keep warm. I think Cam has got the wrong end of the foot about what that pie was for, but he said it was pretty good anyway. So thanks for sending them in, Cal. Now, as we are joined by Cam, back on. You've been on the pod before, haven't you? Or was this first time or?
I think I was. Yeah, in like 2012 or 13, maybe December 2012. I think just after my first semester out in the States, and I think I was doing it with Ryan Burns.
Yeah, I think you've been in with Ryan. I don't know what year it was. I mean, I think we started 2015, 2016. I'm not sure.
2012, yeah.
I don't know, but we'll have to look back at the archives anyway. Yeah. But speaking of archives, we do have an old picture of Cam here, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Which we'll put this up on the screen for people to see.
Yeah.
But just for you to have a look at Cam, and we'll put it on Twittergram and everything else so people can see this. People listen.
What age are you there? Do you know?
19.
Oh wow!
Before the beard came in.
Yeah. Playing for who there?
That's for Montana State.
Okay.
So yeah, that was first season there.
So it all came about basically with First Point USA for you, and obviously you're now working for them, aren't you? So tell us a bit about your experience going over to America.
Initially kind of started through trying to Conador and his family, because I believe Connor was the first, I think, Manx football player to go through them, and then I think he went a year or two before me, maybe 2010, 2011, somewhere around there. And I just had a chat with him and then kind of got in touch with First Point, and then you just kind of go through the process there where you work with them, and then at that stage you'd have to go across to England quite a lot to set up games where they record you. Then you have to do like the academic side of things, make sure your grades are all right, because there's an emphasis on the student athlete, emphasis on the student side, so they want to make sure that you're okay on that side. And then, yeah, they host a annual showcase or like a big trial event at the end of the year. When I went, it was at the London Soccer Dome, but now I think they've got links with the English FA, so they're hosted at St. George's Park, where I think or at least well over 100 athletes go for that day, and then loads of American university coaches come over in December and watch firsthand, which is super useful, because watching obviously in person is so different to watching, you know, over a video. You can kind of see the sort of details in the game a bit better.
Well, yeah, on video, Tom looks pretty good for the comedy.
He doesn't do any justice.
But in person, it's a whole different story.
Yeah, so playing at the showcase helped, because my university coach who signed me at the time was a chap called Dan McNally, who's actually now very high up for an MLS club. FC Cincinnati have just won a cup this season, and he's integral to them. So that was really cool. I think he played for England Boys, but he came over, kind of had a chat and just said, yeah, I don't even really care about the video footage. I've seen enough. Let's get it started. And, you know, I just think, you know, when you kind of have that experience with someone kind of confronts you directly, not over a video call, makes things a lot more personable and easy to go through the process and build that trust. And from then on, he just kind of took me through a virtual campus of Montana, the university and everything, showed what they were about, the team, what their project was for the next 4 years. And then just kind of signed on straight away, was happy, and Montana was absolutely an incredible place.
Was there any sort of culture shock when you first went there, or was it just seamless transition, really?
To a degree, yes. Coming from South Africa, the culture is a lot more similar to America in a lot of senses, so it wasn't too bad, but I can imagine, you know, if you come from the island, you haven't really lived anywhere else, it can be quite a stark difference. But if you're going with an open mind, there's a lot that you can take away from it. And, you know, I think generally speaking, there seems to be a stigma where Americans can kind of get a hard time, you know, from people, but being out there, fantastic people, some of the best people I've ever met in my life, made me best friends there, people can't do enough for you, so hospitable, so kind, and just the whole experience is absolutely fantastic. So ended up being there for 4 years. Played all 4 years, luckily didn't have any injuries, was lucky enough to be captain for 3 of the years, and just all the experience of traveling around. I think I was lucky enough to travel to about 18 different states through the university, got up to go to Canada. I'll never forget the first time I went out there in 2012, I think got out there in July, late July, and you have like 6 weeks or 7 weeks of like hard pre-season where you're in, no one else, like in the students in the university area, and it's just a few of the sports teams, and you've got 2 sessions a day for like 5 or 6 weeks straight, and it's hard going. And then you kind of have a pre-season tour where you play like competitive games against other universities, and you usually travel somewhere or you host. But I remember the coach kind of kept it a secret from us, you know, through preseason, so we could stay focused. And then we kind of got through it a couple of weeks before. He's like, yeah, we're going to Hawaii for preseason tour. And
we got it's not bad, is it?
We got to go there for like 9 or 10 days, play 3 games, which we won all 3, which was a great start. But it was just like, wow, coming from like a little humble Isle of Man in the Grafton, and then it's like, wow, you find yourself like in Hawaii, just kind of soaking it all in. So in terms of culture shock, there is like every state is almost like a different country,
right?
You know, it's so unique, the people are so different, the way they talk is so different, the way like just they interact, Food is kind of generally the same. You know, they're like portions are freaking massive.
I don't have the football talent, but the food would be all right.
Did you do well for Jamie back in the day?
Oh, way back when, mate.
At first point, looking for a podcast because we could fill in.
I think we could.
We're not going to get the student athletes out here, but we could get the student media.
If they want to pay for us to go to America,
And is that pre-season, how does that compare to a Corinthians pre-season then? You don't get to go to Hawaii and Corinthians, do you?
Oh man, hey, don't underestimate Corinthians pre-season, man.
Is that brutal as well?
Running around. Oh, it's, well, good few seasons when I came back from the States, Ben Qualtro and some of the boys had us working hard, but obviously it's chalk and cheese.
Yeah.
Like the level of fitness out there was insane. You've got certain requirements. Look, every university is different. Every, obviously, football program will have their different sort of niches and what they expect. But especially being up in Montana, you're kind of out in quite a dry, humid sort of climate, quite dusty because you're on the plains. So yeah, it can be tricky at times, and it's bloody hot when you're out there, man. I remember running in like probably like 35 to 40 degrees. You know, you
makes the gas works look easy, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh gosh.
I was gonna say, because Ben sort of, without trying to sort of think of other coaches, he's one of the few who has coached off Ireland and in these sorts of environments.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help for you coming back here and with that sort of condition?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think luckily, I've got a really good relationship with Ben, and kind of understanding his sort of idea of how he wants to play football. I mean, he's taught like in the Far East, I think in the Middle East a little bit. He's gone over to the States at a young age. He's just got a phenomenal brain on the game. So, you know, when you come in playing at that level and then coming back, I mean, in between university, I had like a year and a half, almost 2 years out of football because I lived in Vegas and California for a while between that. But when I came back, just kind of slotting right in, it was no problem, you know what I mean? So getting back to Corinthians with the team they had in about 2018 was just a dream, you know, because that's obviously before FC Alaman. So we had like an amazing group of players together. So I made it, all the players as well, just made it dead easy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you had so much success in that short space of time, didn't you?
Yeah, 3 years. It was so cool. I mean, didn't expect it because I wasn't sure what to expect. I knew that I was going to join Corinthians, not consider anywhere else really, but then came back and realized how good the guys were. And then we had those four seasons where we were just, we're on the edge the whole time, you know what I mean? And then I think we had that one season where we went unbeaten on the league, which was, wow, that was just a nice kind of sigh of relief because obviously growing up playing for Geordies for a while, being on the cusp of their first team, then making the transition over, watching it all from afar for a good few years, seeing all the success that Geordies continued to have and kind of coming back and being so close quite a few times. I remember Geordies lifting the trophy, I think, the year before at our field, and oh man, that hurt.
I think you guys got your own back, didn't you? Did you win the league title at Concatree Road?
Yeah, so full circle for sure. But, you know, between the two teams, you know, you look back and it's like it's always dead feisty, but looking back, you know, there's a massive amount of respect. So.
Well, I said, you know, as Dave's pointed out, as you said, you had success in Thailand in men's football, and we have put the call out
to some questions. Yeah.
So, Dave, do you want to start with that?
All right. Well, actually, you just mentioned California. You spent a bit of time in California. Rory Poole, podcast favourite. We'll ask that question. He asks, how important was the California trip for the Alaman lads for creaking open the American door? It seemed to open up some possibilities for guys who might want to go stateside.
Oh, I can't underestimate that. You know, it's, I think I went on the trip 2010 and 2012, missed out in between because of passport issues, which was heartbreaking.
Thought that happened to you, and I'm starting to speak late.
When we went out in 2010, the California trip then was so well organized. I was fortunate to stay with an amazing family down in Encinitas in San Diego, the Ingebretsons, and it was just an amazing trip. I mean, I was playing with the likes of Fraser Vaughan, John Pooley, Jake Sansbury in his prime as a goalkeeper, phenomenal. Big Richard Foden was just an unstoppable centre-back at that time. Johnny Shields and Aidan Cummins and Matt Skillicorn and all the Ramsey boys there, just absolutely tearing things apart. And remember in 2012, I was actually playing centre-back with Sean Doyle.
Wow.
So that was crazy.
Morale legend.
Yeah, I know. Look how things have changed.
So it's not just Brew who played him at the back?
No, it sounds like it wasn't just David. Dave Brew played left-back famously for a few years. And turns out he wasn't quite right with that one, was he?
No.
Turns out he's not a bad striker. But in fairness, if someone's left-footed, you play them left back, don't you?
Yeah, to be fair, in Manx football, if you're left footed, you haven't got pace.
That's how it works.
That is how it works.
You see, Sean Dunn's out of pace.
He's quicker than me. But there's quicker strikers in the game.
I don't know if he'll take that as a positive.
He probably will. He's a very nice lad, though, so
he'll be fine. Oh, nice lad you are with me, eh? Mm-hmm. But no, in terms of the gateway that it opens, it gives you a small taste of what American soccer or football and the culture is like out there, because obviously you play like two or three tournaments, and so well organized, so thorough, and the level's exceptionally good there. You know, people who've not experienced the game firsthand up there can easily have a tendency to think, oh, it's not that good, or it's quite far behind, but it's growing rapidly, and it's a phenomenal level out there. But in terms of the lads who go out there, I think you can probably ask any lad who's been out on that California trip, and probably 99.9% of them will say they had a bloody phenomenal time. Mm-hmm. And if they had the chance back then to be able to go for 4 years out to play university, they would have bitten your hand off, you know what I mean? Because the lifestyle out there, obviously you have to put the graft in, but it's phenomenal, and the opportunities it opens up. So I think they've just come to selecting the squad for next year's California team, potentially. I think they're still in the final stages. But yeah, if I can urge those lads to look into it, it's a no-brainer.
Well, Rory did a really good three-part feature on it a couple of years ago. We'll have to dig that out and put that available again, maybe on Jeff. But yeah, I think, was it something that you ever came across, Tom? Like, were you ever given the opportunity to do it?
Not me, but but then there was a few lads in at school. I remember Taylor and a few others went on the California trip, and they spoke so hardly of it. And in fairness, just looking at the photos, you think, if only I was a bit better at football, I'd get out of there, because it looks incredible. Like, playing football with your mates as well, like with people you know, because the Isle of Man's so small, the chances are you're going to go with the lads that you know from down the road, or you know from school or something. So it did look amazing, and everyone I've spoken to about it says how highly they speak of it. I mean, how can you not love it? It's playing football in the sun, isn't it?
Like, exactly.
It can't go wrong, really, can it?
Yeah. And that part of the country, man, that in San Diego, it's an absolute dream.
Beach Douglas Beach, then. we've got a question in from Doyle.
You say he's the nicest guy, but you probably won't think so.
Yeah. He asks, can you please give a little rendition of Stand By Me on the podcast, similar to the one that Four Nations experienced at the Umbro Cup in Glasgow 2018? He said he's happy to share footage to remind you of the moment if required, which we'd love to see. We would love to see. Or you can give us a rendition now.
I don't want to break any technological gap.
It's that bad, is it?
But I'll tell you what, by all means, I give Sean permission to send the video in. And, you know, you guys, happy to share that. As long as you maybe have some earplugs or something, it won't be too bad.
It's not. And the moon is the only light I will see. No, I won't be afraid. No, I won't.
So we're graced with the karaoke king here in Sam, but who's been the, you know, the, I don't know, the keenest karaoke singer that you've come across in all the teams you've been in? Is there anyone that stands out that's like the life and soul?
Tom Callister? Yeah.
T-Cat, he loves it.
There was a few of us who had to give, because we obviously, I think it was like me, Sean, Ryan and Tom, I think, when we went away to that tournament a few years back to Scotland, and I think we were all making our debuts at that time, so we all had to have the initiation, and it was like the inaugural dinner or something where all the teams were there. So there was like close to 100 people there, you know, like the lads you're playing against, and then all like the men in suits looking prim and proper, you know, and then you get us numpties, you know, like getting up there and absolutely making a joke of ourselves. It was I mean, it just got worse and worse.
That's part and parcel of it, yes. Isn't it, I think?
Yeah, 100 people's a bit more than the other.
TCAT is the life and soul of a party any time. That guy is jokes.
We've seen you do some karaoke, haven't we, Tom?
It's not in front of 100 people, it's just in front of the Albert locals in Douglas. And they left pretty quickly, to be fair, so it's...
I think you're working on that Mariah Christmas album, aren't you?
Yeah, that's coming. That's coming. Don't want to tease it too much. I know everyone's looking forward to it. It's coming. I can't give a date, but it'll come.
Don't know which Christmas.
Probably not this one. Next question, Sam.
Yeah, well, we'll take the second part out of these because it sort of ties in with a question from Joe Middleton as well about. So Joe's asking about your best memory playing for Corinthians. But Hattie's also asked what most memorable moment and match during your time on the Isle of Man. So we'll just sort of combine them two, then we'll come back to the first point of Hattie's.
You got Corinthians and you also played for the Isle of Man, didn't you? So there's two bits there, really.
There's a few that stand out. I think in terms of a game, we played Russian in the Railway Cup final a few years back and we scraped a 1-0 win. And, you know, honestly speaking, not a lot of football was played between the teams that day. I would, you know, honestly say that Russian were probably the better side on the day. Throughout the season, we'd been the better team. But it was one of those games where, you know, like personally, like we're on the back foot a lot. And then I think we went down to 10 men because Rowan put in... an absolutely shocking challenge, which he himself to this day will claim was clean tackle. But there's every year on the Corinthians group chat, there's this picture that goes around, and he's like bloody knee high, flying sideways, boots just everywhere. It's shocking.
Sounds like a Christmas jump beneath
my head. Yeah, definitely. I'll endorse that. And we were just up against the Kosh the whole time, and I just remember playing, I think it was Alan up against Fuhrer, and you know, playing against him is just, it's never an easy game because when he's on it, man, that guy's unstoppable. But just personally for me, that game, I felt like I had a really good game. And then we kind of, I think Simo scored a winner late towards the end. And it was just that capped off. I think that might have been the season we won the treble.
Was it? Yeah.
Could have been. But that was just a phenomenal experience. And then also making debut for the Isle of Man.
Yeah.
Out at the tournament. It's just you've got a different sense of pride when you put it on. You know what I mean? Like especially growing up in South Africa, coming to Isle of Man, and this becoming like my new home and being here for a while. And then coming back, not playing football for a few years after college, kind of unsure like how you're going to fare. And then kind of coming back into the fold and playing for Paul Jones and Deco and stuff. That was a really cool experience.
How would you find, or how would you compare the standards? Like you've obviously played at different levels over here, but the level in America, like how's the sort of quality compare, if you can at all?
Yeah, it obviously depends on what university you go to. The NCAA, the way the collegiate system works out there, they've kind of got almost different divisions, to put it in layman's term. So you've got the NCAA, which, you know, you see like your football and your basketball, like all that televised on. So you've got like Division 1, 2, and 3, and then you've got a few other like sort of associations that kind of like fall in and about there as well. So like you look at the likes of Liam Doyle, Al Harrison, you know, Connor, Jack McVay, they all played at like really good universities. Myself as well, but like obviously depending on like also where you are in the country, like how football is like appreciated there. I mean, I can honestly say like out in the States in that first year it was my best year out of college other than four, but man, it was very humbling. I just remember playing that first game in Hawaii in like first 30 minutes we were playing against the team, I think it was Hawaii Pacific, and there were these guys like, because the age range, it's not just like 18 to like 22 year olds, you're playing guys like anywhere between 18 and 30, you know, because anyone, like not anyone, there's different eligibilities to play there. So I just remember coming up and playing against Hawaii Pacific, and they like had like four or five French guys, like some Spanish guys, like all guys who played like semi-professionally or like, you know, and the technicality out there, physicality, UK all day long. Wow. That like, and that's that, that turns you into man very quickly. So that part of the game was fine, but the technical side of things, wow, the guys are just so clean with their passing technical abilities, and it's just, it's a much more possession based game. So you find yourself a lot in the games where you're just chasing shadows for a long time. So
that prepares you well to come back here, doesn't it? I guess you sort of suddenly realise you've got more time on the ball over here, do you, or is it the other way?
Yes and no, because Manx football is quite weird in that sense, where it's like sometimes you've got more time, but then there's a lot less game management here. So you got guys who are just gunning it for like 50, 60 minutes.
Top 100%. Years, yeah.
And then it'll get to like the last half an hour of games. And like I found that with Corinthians and that kind of stint we had where we were dominating. It would be the last half an hour of games we would kill our teams because of our fitness, and then teams would be gassed, and then, you know, just run.
You still see that so often now in the Canada Life Premier League. Like, I'm not like, games, not just from around, but ones I've watched this season. The teams that are in it towards the bottom of the league, it's like 70th minute, 80th minute, you're still hanging on. Even in the Combi when I'm been playing, it's 70 minute, 80 minute. But then the better teams are the ones that can play the whole game fitness-wise, and they know that last 10, they can get the other side.
This is what always set Geordies apart for all those years, because they just battered the gasworks, and they were just ridiculous. And so they could have a so-called poor game for 75 minutes. Oh, I mean, the last 15 minutes, they just went away with it.
Yeah, and that just comes back to, I think, fitness is one of the most key things in men's football. Like, it's probably the most important thing. It's
100%.
Like, it doesn't matter how... well, it obviously does about motor football, but you could be not the best football side, but as long as you can outrun the other side, the other team, there's a good chance you'll win the game.
Yeah.
So,
how did you find the crowds and stuff? Like, were you playing in front of quite large crowds out there?
Bigger than what Corinthians get down. No offense to Corinthians.
No, but they don't have Karen Walker.
They don't have Karen Walker behind teas and coffees.
Oh, so. What a babe. Yeah, it also, again, depends on where you go, because there's a few places where we went. Like, we'd go away to a Canadian university called Simon Fraser up in Vancouver. They would generate, like, a good crowd, probably, like, 400 to 500. I remember one year we played a team called Western Washington, which are based out in Seattle, and they had just built their new facilities, and it was, like, their inaugural, like, game. We were the first team to kind of play in there, and they had like probably like 1,000, 1,500 students all just packed around the pitch. They had like the brass bands going and like people just cheering, like chanting at you, like just giving you like stick. And the supporters there like really get into it, because they'll like go and research the roster or the team sheet, look at where you're from and everything. I remember playing that game, and they saw that I was from South Africa, and like halfway through the game they all started chanting like Lion King chants at me, just like I wouldn't blow it. And it was just like it's nuts, it was just crazy.
I think you've just given Sam an idea of the artwork for this week's podcast.
Hello Simba. I think the nearest I've seen to that on the island was when West Didsbury came here for the first time.
Oh yeah.
So it's like, because actually I've had that weird season where like their first year, visiting teams coming here wasn't a thing for like ages.
Yeah.
Borders opened up, and West Ends were like the first group of fans who really came here. And they'd done their research. Mm-hmm. So it was like, all game, you had like, stand up if your cats have tails, stand up if you pay your tax, three legs and you still can't score. And it was just like, you guys have really thought about this. Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's a long boat in here, isn't there? At least you can do is give it a bit of research, can't we?
Yeah, I mean, that's more than we've ever done.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. No, but that's brilliant. What's the most we've had? So you say about 1,000, 1,500. What's the most we've ever had at the bowl? What's the
Oh, we filled the bowl.
Like 3.5
Yeah. Is that when it first opened? Or
FCL Man's first game against Guernsey Lions, they had almost capacity. They didn't quite, because they didn't have enough stewards.
But so the playoff final game they did, because they got, basically, if you couldn't get a ticket, you registered as a steward.
Yeah, that's
so they had like ridiculous number of stewards.
Just like a whole row.
Yeah. Everyone's got high vis on. The third row just all sat there like...
I know, Steve. But the bowl, when it opened, I don't know what year it was. Do you remember?
I think it was 2011. We had the Commonwealth Youth Games. So, and we had like the opening ceremony for that. I think one of the Royals was over for it. I think there was... there was a large crowd for that, but then half of that was made up of the teams, so yeah, it didn't quite count.
Yeah.
But to be fair, when the Alamana FA side, when they had the run in the Interleague Cup, that, I don't know if you remember, did that run
that
where
was,
they...
That was filled out.
Yeah, I was assured, I think, for one of them games.
Yeah, but yeah, it was just unbelievable. But yeah, I mean, that was packed out. I mean, that was... I wouldn't like to give an exact number, but you're talking above 2,000, I would have thought. Yeah. So.
Which is nuts now when you see sometimes when you see finals in the Alamana and you see like 200, 300 there, it's just like, get back to them days where...
But you see, even that though, I mean, I remember like the old ball before it was sort of done up, and that happened Liverpool... It was that Liverpool Legends, Man United Legends one?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think Bassi and a few others played in it.
Yes.
And it was... like, so the old ball where it was more like the terrace sort of style,
yeah,
wasn't it? And we all stood
up. Had that like white fence around.
That's right,
around.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah,
it was really weird. It was like being at horse racing.
Yeah.
But there was just no cover at all. Mm. So you could lean on that white fence, but you could get hit by anything.
Yeah,
I bet you could have a pint then.
This is the problem with the ball, it's never had beer.
The quarter bridge was closed though at that point.
To be fair,
it's still open, yeah.
Yeah. But
remember that, you would have got really good numbers for stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly, they did. And even when. When was it Bolton? Bolton Wanderers came over and played Russian.
Didn't play the ball.
It was at the NSC, wasn't it?
The NSC, but did they?
It was absolutely packed. Yeah. I don't know whether they did an official attendance for that.
I don't know, because I remember they did the thing where they put, like, they basically went, all kids just go to the front.
Yeah, yeah.
And all the adults were just stood around it. I think, in theory, they might have thought that one, this would be a great idea.
But then,
and then it just sort of played out very weirdly. Because I remember there was that weird thing where there was like 20 Bolton fans. Sat in the sort of grandstand at the MSC.
Yeah, but they were too far away from the pitch to see it.
Yeah, you got shot put your own
bring your binoculars.
Yeah.
So we've got more questions, don't we?
Well, Hattie had another part to his, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah, go on, Sam.
Yeah, well, yeah, we might come back to Mike Holt, actually. Yeah, we'll do the Hattie first and we'll come back to Mike Holt towards the end.
Yeah.
So you go up on first point. How's that now come about, basically?
So my partner lives out in Dubai at the moment. She's a teacher out there. She used to teach at ballet here, and she got a job out there last year. So we've been doing distance probably for a year, year and a half now. So next year at some point, I'm going to be relocating there. So I was over for a couple months in Dubai with her at the end of summer this year, and obviously start doing job hunting and everything. And I'd seen through the grapevine that they'd opening up an office in Dubai. And I've been obviously doing hospitality, you know, Green Gringo for a couple of years and stuff. But I've always wanted to be based in sports, you know, just passionate about that. So I just dropped them an email and just kind of got in contact with them. And then they just happened to be in Dubai at the time I was there as well. So I just went and had a chat with them and just see if they were keen to get me on board, if there was anything coming about. So at the moment, I'm a consultant for them, being a talent identification consultant, which just helps to identify, you know,
Moran combi captain.
She bought my armband.
Cincinnati legend. Yeah.
Slipped me a tenner off.
You will have a tenner. You will have to leave the parish.
That's true. Yeah. I don't know if it's worth it.
Yeah, so I just had a chat with them out there. So just working for them on a part-time basis. And that's kind of now evolved into having a chat with a lady called Adele Weir, who's the head of scouting for the company. A little bit about them is they've been going for about 23 years now. First Point USA started by a chap named Andrew Keane. They are based, one of their head offices or based up in Glasgow, but they got a big presence all over the UK. They've spread out into a lot of continents now. I've seen massive presence in the US for the link there. But they've helped over 30,000 student athletes in the 20-odd years.
That's still not Tom.
So the process is not a well-oiled machine. They're the leading sort of company in that industry. And obviously year on year, the process is streamlined, so it's becoming easier and easier to kind of get a route to go to college. Because I remember when I went through it about 10, 11 years ago, there's a lot of things you'd have to go back and forth, but obviously communication's a lot easier now. So that's kind of come about. And then kind of dovetailing off that, they asked me if I could see if could feel around the island, see if there would be a gauge of interest for it. And then that's kind of coming into, well, kind of obviously contacted you guys to have a chat.
Yeah, so you've got two sessions next month, haven't you? And it's not just football, we should stress that, it's also rugby as well.
So they don't just deal with football and rugby, I think they deal with like over 30 sports.
Yeah.
So they've got a wide reach, it's like...
We're back in the game here.
Try everything.
Sorry, they don't actively win.
I don't know what sport I can say.
Not many.
Drink it, mate. Drink it.
Drink them on.
Chess is a sport for mine.
Yeah, so they got a whole range of sports, but they kind of wanted me to see if I can set up sort of like a trial test here in January. So I'm going to be hosting football trials. They'll obviously come over for that week. They've got the football trials on the 9th of January down at King William's College at about 6:30, and then the following day on the 10th of January it'll be down at Douglas Rugby Club.
Is that any age or is that...
So it's between 15 and 21, 22, around there.
Paul, you top
22.
There you go.
Still a chance on that. And it's not necessarily you have to, you can be out of school, but as long as you have the grades and certain prerequisites. For the day, it's only a £20 registration fee, sign up. And we're trying to get around 40 football players and 40 rugby players for both. The reason why I stress why it's so important is because if this goes well, then the presence of First Point will increase here. I know there's maybe some initial talks to try and develop a relationship with the Isle of Man FA to kind of be like a focal point here, so it gives, you know, prospective student athletes in the future like an easy like route or point of contact to go through. There's obviously myself, which anyone can get in contact with. If we can kind of get numbers for the two trials next month. Look, I know it's only 3.5-4 weeks away, which is not a lot of time, but for any keen young footballers and rugby players, for £20 to kind of go see what it's about, showcase your skills, man, it's so worth it. It's a no-brainer.
And what's the worst that happens? It doesn't, nothing happens.
Exactly.
You just have to play in your sport anyway.
Yeah, you have to be professional, that's it. Yeah.
If you're a youngster who's 15, 16, 17, and maybe they don't sign you on, it doesn't mean that it's not going to happen that year. Like, you can always, if we bring more trials over, there's always going to be more opportunities. It's not like, okay, no, you're not, kind of don't cut the cloth. No, the door's kind of always open. It's just how much work you put in as like an athlete yourself. If we can generate the numbers for that and it goes well, then they've asked me to see if we can reach out into maybe like golf as well, women's field hockey, because we also want to tap into the women's side of thing. And I also want to stress that it's hard right now because obviously the traffic and the numbers is largely in the men's side of things. But if things go well, then there's scope for the women's side, all the more niche sports as well, like golf. There's also track and field, athletics, you know what I mean? There's a whole host of things as well. So it's not just limited to football and rugby. So it kind of opens the scope up to a lot of student athletes who are kind of interested for an opportunity out there.
We do tend to see it more and more now. We get a lot more, like students do go away to America, and there is a pathway there. And this First Point thing is obviously, it's paid dividends. We look at Liam Doyle, as obviously he's forged a career out there. Obviously he went through the draft and he's now, he's sporting director, is he, at one of the clubs? So there is a career, there is a pathway there, isn't there now? It's just about sort of broadening it really, isn't it?
No, exactly. And the scope for opportunity when you're out there is second to none. While you're playing out there in whatever sport you're playing, there's scope to coach, there's always work available, there's work experience available, the places you go, the people you meet, like, it's endless. Like, I could have been out in America now with, like, job opportunities and stuff. It was just kind of the right time to come back.
Just wanted to be on the podcast.
Yeah, you know.
It's a special honour.
It is.
And obviously you look at Jack McVeigh, he's come back on the island, but obviously he's been a mainstay in all the island teams. Arguably one of the most gifted footballers the island seen. Conor Doyle as well. He's, you know, forged himself a really neat career out in Dubai. He's also like head technical director at a really good academy.
I was going to ask, are you playing football still out in Dubai? Have you joined a club out there? What's
no, I've just got some like pickup games there that I've partaken in. Ideally, if things can work out, I'd like to start playing for Corinthians in the second half of the season if I can squeeze it. We'll
another
see.
Another breaking transfer story.
There we go.
This podcast.
We had Luke Green last week,
didn't we? Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I've said it now. Yeah. I'm not editing this.
Well, after last week, they could probably do with a...
we'll come to that in a minute. We will. just before we move on, actually, though, how can people get in touch with you about this? What's the best way to do it?
Yeah. So I'll obviously, you know, there'll be a bit of information, I think, through you guys kind of advertising this. Mm-hmm. Myself, I'm going to put out some material out tomorrow. I'll put like some adverts out. I'll drop you guys my email so you guys, anyone can email me. You can either call me as well. I don't know, I can give you guys the contact details after the podcast. But going forward, there's going to be a lot more sort of points of contact which you can get involved with. But at the moment, I'll send you guys the links for the registration to the rugby and the football, so guys can directly go there and just sign up and then just turn up on the day and do their thing. For on the day, it's not just kind of turning up and playing. The first point team comes over, they'll give like a 45 minute to hour presentation. I know they're trying to set aside some time as well during that week, so if parents want to get in touch and organize a chat with them, they're making themselves available, because obviously that process of, you know, your young kid or your young lad or girl going out to the States, it's quite hard. I know my mom struggled with it, you know what I mean? So having the parents being able to chat to them as well would also like maybe give a lot of closure. But yeah, anyone can feel free to get in touch with me, have a conversation. My phone's always there to have a chat with anyone who's interested.
Well,
yeah,
I need to sign Hugo.
Yeah, he's not leaving around. Before we move on, though, quickly, I'm just intrigued to know how, like, you know, now these people are looking at players, so that these trials, these guys will come over and maybe look at the different players.
Yeah, yeah.
Will they be just looking at skill, or will they look at like does personality matter? Does it matter how they think, maybe, or different things?
You're screwed
like
on everyone.
Yeah, I'm not talking about me. Either. But I'm just intrigued to know how they actually pick out someone, because it's not all just about your football. I'm in a playing with some lads and I think he's a quality footballer, but he's lacking in another department.
Yeah.
Do they have to like tick a load of boxes, or?
So it obviously they take quite a lot of things into consideration. Also depending on your age, like you could be a 15-year-old lad who wants to go out, but you're only going like 3 years' time, so you got time to develop. First point sort of job is kind of just to broaden the scope, narrow it in a little bit, and then kind of be like, yeah, there's potential there, it ticks all the boxes. And then basically when they sign you on, then they put together video footage of you for every player individually. They create that profile for you, work you through the process, and then it's a matter of that video footage, the coaches coming out and see you, that's like when they decide. It'll be like the university coaches who will, they'll know what they want in specific players. First point kind of, you know, will talk to you and communicate you through the process of being like, okay, this is what we're looking for, there's potential there, get on board, we can help you. Maybe these are sort of areas that, you know, the coaches are looking for. These are things that maybe you need to like think about. And kind of guide you through that process. But so they kind of do that initial phase, build that portfolio on you, help you through that step by step to get you that video footage, personal profile just out there on the scope, and get you signed on.
PAs.
Great. Well, finish with Mike Holt's question just before we go back on to local game. And his question is, what is the biggest positive change you'd like to see in the local game ahead of your triumphant return to
Cooper? Should I tell us?
I think there has to be a push on certain things. Obviously, I think with FC Alaman coming in for the last 3-4 years now, you've seen there's been quite a divide from what I've gauged. Personally, I think the FC Alaman is positive. I think it's given Manx footballers something higher to aim for. look, it's not to say that it doesn't come with its, there's certain aspects which will have an effect. I think you can probably tell, and this is, the league is more inconsistent now. There is parts of it which is more exciting because you're not seeing just one or two teams win all the time now. There is obviously like teams who are in and about now. I think in terms of like positive change, maybe that correlation or relationship between FC Alamein and the local clubs, there needs to be some maybe better understanding. I don't know what's going on there myself. I'm sure there are people working up behind the scenes. Obviously, I know that Alamein probably needs more referees. You know, maybe there could be an incentive for that.
They have, to be fair, sent any open invitation to any Turkish lads who are...
Oh god, yeah, the punch, yeah.
Yeah, terrible.
Oh jeez, yeah, that was rough, eh?
Yeah. Rough. Thankfully that doesn't happen every Saturday on the island.
No, not every Saturday, we're going to sign you up to the referees course at some point, aren't we?
Oh god, yeah, I'd love that to yeah. Be I'd love it because I'd love to do where a body cam to do it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Show people that, like, I just think refereeing is something that I think people should want to get into because it benefits the local game, and especially when people come out of the game,
yeah.
It's still keeping involved with it, isn't it?
Make sure this happens when Cam's back on the pitch so you guys can have a run in.
I don't think I'd be the best ref, to be fair. I'd want to make the game interesting too much, so that's my problem. Be like, oh, this is boring.
No rules.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
Just random shot. Right, next goal wins.
But in fairness to the refs, they've at the start of the season there was a genuine concern that we wouldn't have enough at all.
Yeah, they picked up six.
And they picked up, and then now it's looking like every game's ticked off. They're doing really good. Obviously, they'll always need more. But the other man, we've not had many problems with that in the men's game that I know of, and I think the juniors.
Right. You've seen the development as well. You know, you got the Mad Monk picked up the whistle. You got Liam picked up as well. Of course, they've been on the line for FC Alamein games.
Yeah, yeah.
Got Ollie's away more often. I think a lot of that, to be fair, it's the way things are on the ground. You've got like Peter Greenhill's really good and Tom Crowe's great. Kev's obviously great at the FA.
Yeah.
You've got Paul, obviously, because now got Paul the Championship, who lives here, so he's really good to work more. So it's just like, it seems to be in a happier place.
Yeah, it does.
It's long may it continue.
And there's some youngsters coming through, isn't there? Thomas Halliwell.
He's like, doing really well.
And he's like... He's the poster boy of the FA now. I see him on all the posters saying, come and join our referee. And he's like, he's another one. It's so important to have these young ones going through. Because you've got the old guard, like Andrew Lodge, still doing it. And it's brilliant that, to have the experience. But then sometimes I couldn't see Thomas Halliwell. I think, what a game he's had as a ref. Dealing with players who it can get out of hand sometimes amongst football, can't
it? Especially with the other best.
Yeah, to be fair, mainly my football. But like... People can. It takes a lot of bottle for a young lad in the middle to say no and stop play in certain situations, isn't it?
Sometimes football can be quite malicious at times, to say the least.
It certainly can.
But yeah, I think just last point on what I'd like to see the change in the local game is there has to be a continued push as well for the youngsters coming through, because you know we live in a day and age where technology's taken over, so you see more lads on their phones, and less lads out kicking the ball. Obviously, you've got the likes of Ben Qualtra with IQ Academy, who's doing a phenomenal job, you know, filling in like gaps which need filled. I think just bigger push and stuff like this with First Point, more opportunities for lads, for Manx lads, because for an island so small, man, it can produce with a lot of fine footballers.
We do well. I think as an island, we always do punch above our weight in the sporting sense. So, absolutely, it's just about creating that opportunity, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, we are going to look at the local game. And, Dave, we're going to have a third attempt this week.
Yes, again, and it will go ahead this week.
It will go ahead.
Yes.
Have we had that confirmed now?
Yes, but the venue's TBC. At the time, in the next hour and a half, at the time of recording, they're going to confirm where it's going to be at. So
is this the Railway Cup?
This is the Railway Cup, Tom. Yeah. So for the third weekend in a row now, we are going to try and get the Ayr St Mary's game played.
Does it have to be played this weekend? Is this the whole thing?
Pretty much snow games on the 23rd at all, and then obviously Boxing Day is the final.
But it's at home to Ayr.
Yeah, so there was a bit of confusion earlier this week. The fixture list said it had been switched to the bowl. But it apparently came up with the council meeting the other night. I think Ayr still wanted to be played in Andrews, which is absolutely their prerogative.
Fair enough.
So they're having a pitch inspection today, so Thursday.
This is a bit early for a pitch inspection. It could rain Friday.
I think don't rain on the weather.
If Ayr's game is off, if Ayr's pitch isn't playable,
goes to the bowl.
And it has to go to the ball.
Yes. FCL are not playing, so there's no...
Do you think that's fair? Do you think Ayr should have to give up their home advantage?
Think.
Because of they're at home. What, just because they want the Railway Cup final on the Boxing Day, push it back if it has to be. Ayr should be playing in the ball.
I mean, to be fair, it was Easter Sunday last year.
It was a late one last year.
I just don't think that's...
Have you come across it when you played for Corinthians where you've had to give up home advantage in that sense and you felt sort of... Not grieved by it, but you felt a bit...
Once or twice, it's happened for sure, but there's... I think every Manx footballer goes through a stage, you know, where you go through the heavy winter and there's almost no games on for weeks at a time. Yeah. So it does get to a point where if there's a game on, you're just happy to play. And I don't want to sound big-headed, but at that time when we were playing, we had such a good team, we didn't really care where we played.
Yeah.
So. I guess it doesn't matter if you're in a winning thing, but in particular, this game is significant because St Mary's play at the bowl. That's their home pitch.
Yeah.
So I think it's massive that the game is getting put to the bowl. If both teams weren't playing the bowl, if St Mary's had another pitch for another club, then the bowl makes complete sense.
Is this like doing like a Villa Park scenario, moving it to St John's?
That's exactly, exactly. I just think, that's what I think it should be. It should be like, if they can't find, the bowl is, St Mary's will have home advantage. I think move it to somewhere if there's a pitch available, or if they don't want to play it and their pitch isn't available, you push through the cup final.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, I'm not privy to the conversations, but you assume that if it's going to be played at the bowl, then Ayr would have to agree to it, you know. Yeah.
I just don't think that they should force their hand like that, but that's my personal
view. I think the thing is, we've had the problem of, we've had like 12 weeks where there was like two games called off. We had that one week that was awful.
Yeah,
but aside from that, we had like, you know, 11 out of 12 weeks where every game got played.
Yeah.
And as soon as it hit Railway Cup season, it was about 2 weeks of chaos.
Yeah. So all being well, this game will take place this weekend.
Yeah.
So I can't remember who predicted what. Cam, who do you reckon? Ayr or St Mary's?
Oh, I'm going Ayr.
Tom?
Yeah, I'm going to go there as well. I think Ayr will...
Dave?
Yeah, I think St Mary's would give them a good game, but Ayr would.
But then again, as we say, you mentioned about a final earlier, about how you won 1-0 but you didn't play the best.
Yeah.
These type of games, like, it doesn't really... Ayr have obviously unbeaten in the league.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't really matter about form. Exactly, it could go either way. So, but I still think Ayr will do the business.
Yeah, as no doubt Tom will bring up later, we do also have the Ravens factor of there isn't a game.
It'll
play a big part in the league games, which I'm not too happy
about. I'm going to go for it. We're going to be walking in the Ayr. We're going to go for it. I reckon
it's not too early now for that, Sam.
It's not now.
Yeah,
it's
great. Go away with it.
So I'm going to say Ayr, probably just, but I think it will be pretty close than their league game was a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, Premier League, we've got Peel, no matter what happens, will be top at Christmas.
Yeah. Is that confirmed?
Well, Ayr are playing in the Railway Cup.
Oh, yeah.
So, when you were Corinthians, does that have like mindset thing of kicking? So, obviously, in England, they make a big deal of being top at Christmas, bottom at Christmas. No. Do you think that made a difference?
As long as you're in and around there, because Manx football can be so up and down.
Yeah.
Now, as long as you just get into the Railway Cup, I think you're not even thinking about like the end result of the league then, you know what I mean? It's as long as you secure a railway spot, then you're happy because you've got the chance obviously to get some silverware, and if you can get that, then it gives you the confidence for the rest of the league. But it doesn't really matter.
Just call you up on this, Sam. I mean, Peel, if they lost 18-0, they wouldn't be top of Christmas. But let's face it, I'm just looking at the table.
Who have Peel got this weekend?
I don't know if they're playing this weekend.
Oh, they're not playing.
Oh, fair enough.
Because if they are, I've missed one off the
I'm not sure.
This is why having the laptop.
No. I've got fixtures, but maybe, So Peel are obviously top on goal difference at the moment. We've got the games in hand. So.
Peel don't have a game. They're meant to play
Ayr. That's right,
yeah.
We talk about Peel, though. Got to give mention to Lee Gale last week.
Yeah.
He's passed the 300 goal mark now.
Phenomenal.
Which is just ridiculous.
It's an absolute joke. And the curse has well and truly been broken, the football curse, because not only did Peel win, but then also...
Yeah,
he goes and scores his 300th goal.
Exactly.
Like if anything, we've helped him really.
I don't know if you're aware of this, but for the first sort of half of this part of the season so far, every club that came on lost the following game.
Yeah.
So we had Laxey, we had St Mary's, we had who else? We had, but Peel finally broke that curse.
I feel like we've had William on that. I don't remember.
We've had 16. I can't remember. Yeah, but.
Say that.
It was a genuine thing, it was a podcast curse.
Yeah, it was
we went to St John's and they lost.
Yeah.
They wouldn't even come on.
No, they wouldn't. But But Peel have broke that curse, and that was a really nice pod as well, wasn't it? With a few beers down at Peel.
Always is.
Yeah. Behind enemy lines.
Well, with neither of the top two in action, we'll start with Ramsey's trip to Laxey, Electrico.
Oh yes.
Which is not one of ours. It was Hattie's.
Hattie's, I think it was. Oh no, Hattie's. Andy came up with it, and Hattie ran with it. Yeah.
So it's Electrico.
Yeah.
But yeah, the only game.
Sorry, not sorry.
Jesus, I lost myself on that one completely. Dave, give us the stats. Where are Laxey in the league?
Right, so Laxey are fifth. Played 12 games for 19 points. Ramsey are up in third, 12 for 28 points. So there's a big gap between the two teams. Mm. We know Ramsey have been good, and they lost out to Peel in the semi-finals of the Railway Cup. So they'll be obviously want to bounce back from that.
Yeah.
Laxey.
They do have a much better home record, though, don't
they? Yeah, they do.
How do they look on the road?
Ramsey's record, they've won four of their six, so won four, drawn one, lost one.
Probably a better home record, a better way.
I mean, I know this is the point where Tom would ask, do you think home advantage plays a difference in Mike's football?
Oh, I think it definitely does, but.
Yeah.
I think it does, because there's different pitches, different, like, some facilities, like. Been treated in changing rooms, morale especially, too packed out for. I think it does make a part.
Yeah, like you say, the changing rooms, like, you know, I'll tell you, the like playing Corinthians, which is such a well kept like field,
mm-hmm.
playing home against who is it? Old Boys, and then you play away against Old Boys, where there's like slow on the pitch, the field is tiny and boggy, you know, keepers are taking a goal kick and it's like in your box. It's, oh man, it just changes the game completely. So definitely.
So with this one then, what do you reckon?
Draw.
Reckon?
I'm gonna go Ramsey, no surprise there, but I think Laxey played Moran last weekend, no, the weekend before last weekend.
Yeah, only won
3-2, and apparently Moran was strong. I think second half kind of Laxey got away with it, but I think Ramsey are quite good. I think they lost to Peel, they lost in the league to Peel, and they've obviously lost in the Railway Cup semi-finals to Peel Ramsey. But I don't think that's anything to be like disgruntled by. Peel or Peel,
yeah,
a step above, aren't they? They're like at the top of the league, they're a bit of a step above. Peel are flying. So I don't think that's anything. And Ramsey, I think, has been strong all season. I'm going to go for a Ramsey win, maybe 3-4-0.
Dave?
You're big. Going to be tight. I'm not quite going to sit in the Andy Dalrymple and Paul Memorial fence. I'm going to go for a Laxey win.
Oh.
Okay.
I'm gonna put my Corinthians hat on and go for a nice fat 0-0.
No, it doesn't happen.
Or like a 5-5. Take a 5-5, both drop points, get Corinthians back in there.
That's what I like that. Like biased predictions. That's me every week. I'm gonna be top of the league.
Speaking of Corinthians, they are at home this week. What is the closest derby anywhere outside of the San Siro?
Yes.
Which is Corinthians versus Douglas Royal.
The Battle of Fletcher derby. Oh, it's always a big one, isn't it?
It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah. I've started filming the Karen Walker derby.
Yeah.
I'm sure should appreciate the derby. They do just the same team. So, I wonder if one of them wins, they should have it for the next week. Like, they should do like a, whoever wins this has, not literally has Karen, but has the hatch for next week.
Tom, what did I say to you about editing this podcast? Tom, who do you reckon
Karen Walker's up for grabs?
Who do you reckon is going to win, Tom?
I reckon it'll be a Corinthians win.
Good.
I think Royal might surprise them.
Yeah. Now, can we say off camera about Royal winning this game? Why do you think that?
You cheeky man. Nah, go all the way you wind up. No, please, get out of here. Jump on.
I'm going to go for a draw.
A draw.
White's 2-3-1.
3-1. Yeah. I think they'll be back. I think they'll bounce back after a tough defeat last week. And I think Royals, they're not doing badly, are they? Which is concerning for Moran.
Yeah, well, we got called up on it, didn't we, a couple of weeks ago when we all predicted they'd lose and they won.
Yeah, so I can see why. I mean, we get it wrong every week, but
I mean, Royal are now up to ninth. Yeah, you know, there's 5 points between them and the relegation zone now, so they are starting to pull a bit clear.
And it's
I suppose though, Corinthians are going to be absolutely smarting after that last week.
Yeah, well, thanks to the quirk that is Manx football, of course, Corinthians will be playing in their away kit this weekend, so Royal will be playing in white. Mm-hmm. So I agree with Cam there.
Actually, Royals. I'm going to change my prediction because
What are you going to change your prediction for?
I'm thinking SCL Man factor. So Simo's back. I don't know if any of the others might be back.
Yeah. But I have heard with this SCL Man, they have got a training session on Saturday. Right. Not sure whether that means they'll be playing training with them or they'll choose their clubs or what will happen there.
I don't know, like, I'm changing. I'm going to go for a Corinthians win now.
Yeah, I'm going for Corinthians win anyway. Yeah. I think Andy Aspidge is getting played really well against Brandon the other week, but yeah. I just think Corinthians, especially Simo's playing, they'll just. I reckon it was close, because last time they played it was really close, wasn't it?
Surprisingly so, I think, yeah.
Which is when Roars weren't having their great run of form. So I reckon it'd be close, but Corinthians will just do it.
Yeah.
Tom, we'll leave you to last.
Yeah, okay.
Braddon Union Mills.
Again, this is now a relegation fight, surprisingly so. Mills have just...
What is happening?
I don't know, but Mills, like, we all thought that they'd be absolutely flying this year, but they're in 11th, they're only 2 points clear of the drop zone, so...
And what's their away form, like, Dave?
Away form, they have won one, drawn one, and lost three. So, I mean, Braddon have won one at home all season, so...
This will be tight, this, I reckon. They both kind of need a win.
Yeah, 6 points.
It's like Arwen effectively with Geordie's, really. But I think it'll be a draw. You know.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just looking at Brandon's. I mean, the last one was they lost at home. I don't know. I might call out the Desmond on this one.
2-2. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Classic.
What do you reckon?
Oh my! You know what? I'm gonna go for Brandon upset. Let's go.
Ooh, Braddon,
yeah, let's go.
And what would that do for Braddon if they did win?
So, it depends on your result as well. It would put them above Mills.
Mills, yeah.
1 point ahead of them. It put them level on points with Geordie's.
But it depends on the Geordie's, yeah. So this week, for the bottom four, all playing each other. It's a massive week for staying up.
It's a relegation dogfight.
It is.
And so I love a good cliche.
And Haggy's back for it.
Haggy's back?
Yeah.
Is this reliant on an EasyJet flight?
It's reliant on an EasyJet flight.
Haggy's not playing.
My football's favourite Malawian, by the way.
Yeah.
The legend.
His passport says Malawi, but you know he's Moran.
That's on the Christmas album, by the way.
Yeah.
We will, of course, turn to Glen Country Road. The the former almighty St George's are welcoming Moran, if you can ever welcome you lot anywhere. Geordie's, obviously, their difficulties have been well known. But they've kept plugging away this year, to their credit, and they're not in bottom three all that around.
I think the FCL Man thing here, they're going to have Ben Wilkinson, Jacob. I'm assuming they will. I don't know.
Conveniently, when we play them,
yeah,
it's super strange.
I saw the last time FCL Man didn't have a game. Geordie's played. It was the St Mary's game, and they upset them 3-2 at the ball. Both players were key in that, so I'm going to say similar again. I think it makes a big difference, doesn't it?
It does. I think Ben especially. I think obviously Jake Crook's an unbelievable player, but if Ben Wilkinson's in that team, we've had problems with him before, but not literal problems, but in terms of him just saving everything. I remember there was a game down there, we could have won 3-4-0 and we ended up losing, I think 2-1 maybe, or 1-0. He just had the game of his life, like just clawing things. Like, I think you might have been there for that. It was a joke.
It's David Seaman-esque save.
Exactly. It's like, so yeah, he'll play a massive part, and it all depends on the FCL Man, and that's the frustrating thing. You see teams facing St George's maybe getting points because they don't have them lads in, and then we take them on and they've got FCL Man. It is frustrating that is happening. And
I mean, it's all speculation at this point. We don't know what the team's going to be like doing, but we would have thought that they'd play.
And yeah, absolutely. But fingers, I'm going to go, of course, from around win. I think it'd be a bit of a statement win as well. I'm going to go with
the 3-1. Well, the thing is, Combi's not playing this weekend. You could get a call up, mate.
No. With my Christmas due on Friday night, I really hope it's not a call up. We're going to get a bit leery there. I think we're all going to... I think one of the good things about our Combi being off is it means it's going to be a good following down in Country Road.
Yeah.
And I honestly do think that makes a difference. Seeing on the sideline a big group of lads, probably drunk, all shouting, come on, we're out. It probably does help.
Yeah, that says a lot about the state of Manx football, where probably drunk at 2:00 in the afternoon.
It's a Saturday, it's Christmas.
Tom will just be topping up.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
I think Geordie's are probably edge.
Starting to like you as well.
Sorry about that.
He's got his Geordie's allegiances,
yeah,
he's got to. So.
Yeah,
I don't think they'll go down this season. I think they'll just have enough in the locker to kind of slowly worked their way back up.
But well, the goal difference thing still.
Yeah, your guys' goal difference ain't looking too hard.
But I think there's a reason why ours isn't looking good.
Yeah, minus 30.
This is the problem I've already said it multiple times. I do feel like if you don't field a side, there's got to be more of a punishment than. The no goal difference thing, I think, frustrates me very much so. Like, Moran could go to Laxey and lose 8-0.
But then another team doesn't feel the side.
It's not 3-0 anymore. It's no goal difference. They don't even go 3-0. So what's the point of a Moran side going up and going to lose? There's no benefit.
Needs
and
to be looked at.
That's what I think is one of the biggest changes that needs to be done. Especially, and I know that's from me from a Moran perspective, but I think it could also affect the top of the table.
Yeah.
I think they could come down to goal difference there. Mm-hmm. So you've kind of got to do away maybe where you deduct a point or you do something like that. Maybe there's got to be an incentive to field the side,
definitely,
I think.
Definitely. Well, you know, I've mentioned this before. It's not as important, obviously, as the league table, but like in the Player of the Month ratings and Golden Boots and stuff like that. Like, Danny Oram and Lee Gale are currently at the top of the Gold Boot. Ayr had, I think, two games, or at least one of the games was postponed. They were awarded the points. So Danny doesn't get any goals there.
No goals.
Even at the end of the season, him and Gale are still level. You know, he misses out on the Golden Boot.
There's so many points that it makes a massive difference, and they've got to sit down. I think the FA have got to look at this, because it's an issue that it could just mean that four clubs at the bottom might just go, well, why would we bother? We're going to peel away, we're going to lose 8-0, why would we bother?
Yeah.
So I think there's something got to be genuinely looked at there, but I feel like I'm repeating myself in every episode. So.
No, but it's a fair point, mate.
Yeah,
it is a fair top.
It's not often I make a fair point, no. So...
Yeah, Sam, I've noticed you're looking at the old page there, which has got Cam's photo on it. Are you looking at the junior football results?
I just seen it was in it, yeah.
There's a few names, like Luke Murray's there.
Looking at that, looking at the 15-17.
When he wasn't 8 foot tall.
A few lads.
6 foot seven then,
didn't he? Who in Milan? That's what I'm trying to work out. Johnny Quirk, Kean Brock, Luke Murray.
It'll be a Union Mills team, probably.
That makes sense. Because look at that, three scorers there. Johnny Quirk. Kean Brock, St John's, Luke Murray, now St John's.
Reece Westwell playing Galaxy Miners there.
Yeah, of course.
Got Joe Wallace down.
Joe Wallace.
Mike Wilkinson.
Some good players there, isn't there?
Yeah.
Even Peels. Oh, Morris.
Brody Bations playing for Milan there as well. Jordan Crawley.
Some good players there, isn't there?
And Matty Rennie.
It's good to see
a couple in Falaxi there.
It's good to see all these players.
1-2 knockout play. Sorry.
It's good to see these players that are still playing now. That's what I like to see. You know, you look through back in the day, juniors, they're still playing.
I mean, Chambo coached this Oncombe team in the 15-17.
Is that what they lost?
After Division 2. That was the worst game. It was like, so we had, do you know Cal, who was the goalkeeper, who's quality at rugby?
Yeah, oh God, what was his name? I know who you mean.
Yeah, built like a tank.
Yeah.
He like broke his wrist or something during the game. We had Tyler Saxon playing for us as well. He did something, got injured and went off. We ended up playing with like 10 men and it was just awful. Like, proper awful. But we did have this kid playing for us, who I still see occasionally called Michael Rock, who we, when he scored, was just like, finally, you're a rock!
Love it.
Anyway,
I'm
going to go with a...
It's Christmas.
That's what Geordie's going to stuff you.
No, you had no prisoners.
Turning to the battle to replace Moran in the Premier Division. Foxdale got no game this week, so Castletown could be top at Christmas. They are home to D&D, and we'll start there. Castletown obviously had a bit of a dip recently.
They had that 1-0 defeat to Old Boys.
Yeah, which was kind of a dip.
Yeah, the lads were good last week, weren't they? But
they'd already lost before they came on, just...
Yeah.
Game didn't take place, so the podcast curse is not there, so it's fine.
So yeah, they are still looking to bounce back from that Old Boys defeat, but they're hosting D&D. For me, this only goes one way, unfortunately, for the lads.
I mean, what you say, every D&D have always got a result in them.
They do.
But I think in this one, I mean, Castletown, they're fighting at the top for a reason. I think they've got a good squad there. Hopefully all the issues within the camp have now been settled. shouldn't really say that. I think Castletown win.
Top?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Castletown win, but I think it'll be tight in the building. I think Dave Matheson's army might have something to
do. Do you know anything about Division 2? Did you know it was called DPS instead of JCK?
It's all changed.
Not gonna lie.
Did you ever play for Division 2? Was it always Div 1? I mean, you've been to be Corinthians and Geordies, so I can imagine.
Div 1, I think.
Div 1 was Div 1, yeah. Never played in the Europe's Best League.
Well, they've played a few of the Div 2 teams in the Cup, weren't you? Any standout ones at all?
I think we played Governors one year.
Sam's team.
I think it was close. quite a close game. I think it was like 15 minutes.
Sam will be playing.
Is that the one where Chambo saved the ball of his hand and you lot convinced the ref not to send him off because it was already like 14
minutes? Yeah, that was the one we were like just there.
It was like 85th minute, he dived to take it. What are you going to save him?
Off and off and off.
See, that's the magic of the cup.
Would have been 16-0 otherwise.
So we're all cast time now.
Yeah, I
think so. Adam's not here this week. He's where is Adam this week?
Pretending to work.
Pretending to work. Yeah. Okay.
Oh. He's psyching himself up with
the
Christmas
party. At least everyone will know why the courier is so bad next week.
Yeah, we've been here. Adam's only on work. That's still why it's gone. The poor boy. Yeah. So his Colby team are hosting Old Boys, who obviously beat Cast Town. They've got a decent. So they turned things around. I think it took them a little bit of time to get going after the relegation. They brought a lot of new players in.
But then they've also turned to the old guard a little bit again, haven't they? And yeah. I think it's a tried and tested. You know, you can, you'll have played against the Stewart brothers, Callum and Craig, and you got Robbie Ward. They've got some good players there, haven't they?
Yeah.
And I suppose when you're in Div 2, you just got to find a way to get back up, haven't you?
No, absolutely. And I don't know, I think this will be close, this game.
Yeah.
Old boys are getting back to it. And I know they've got, up front foot, you've got Johnny Gartland back on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a good pod, that.
That'd be really interesting with Gartland, obviously. Oh,
he's got some stories.
Didn't he used to do them radio shows? I remember watching Energy FM. Because I remember he had, like, young Gilly on it and senior Gilly, Dave Brew on it. And I remember watching that being like, oh, my gosh. Yeah. So, like, that was really good. So he's obviously got the voice for it. So
he's a legend. Yeah, George is.
So Matt Former Postman as well. What a guy. So, yeah.
So, Tom, are you going to say your former postman's going to beat Colby?
I'm going to say my former postman's going to beat Colby.
Dave?
I'm going for a draw.
Ooh.
Where are they playing?
Colby's at Colby.
At Station Fields.
Ooh, see, if it was down at All Boys, I would say All Boys, I think. But I think, good at you, but I think it'd be a draw.
I'm going to say close game. 2-1 Colby. Colby.
Colby Boys.
Boys.
This is the game that Hattie's going down to this weekend.
Oh, so, is it?
Yeah,
oh,
so they'll be tweeting from it.
Oh, brilliant.
So, yeah.
So we'll have tweets from that game getting there.
Yep. So hopefully there's goals, because otherwise he'll be cold.
Devastated.
Yeah.
It's a long walk to get a cup of tea there as well.
It is.
Because they're still playing on that bottom pitch.
There's no hot food, is there?
No,
Adam Morton's still not sorted.
This is devastating, this. It is. What's going to happen with Moran? Are you working on these sausage rolls, by the way?
So, yeah, we had them planned for last week, but obviously...
What was the sausage rolls you had planned for last week?
No, it was mental.
This was the special, wasn't it?
The meatball garlic bombs.
They're called the meatball garlic bombs, yeah. James had them all ready.
That's what he's fancy now, mate.
It's a bap. You hollow it out, meatballs, cheese with garlic in it, and then cheese over the top.
And put it in the oven. And it's like we've not done them yet. We meant first time we were going to do them last week in our game, and then James had them all ready to go. He sent me a photo. I was away. And then the game is called off.
I think Green Gringos is going to make a comeback now, and that's going to be on the menu.
Yeah. Tell you what, you guys should get on it. Something called Bunny Chow. It's a South African thing where you take like a loaf of bread, you like cut it in half, you hollow it out, and you can make like bread balls from it, but then you make like a stew or something, like a nice, even like a curry or something, you fill it up. Oh man, it's hella messy. It's a great time.
Making me hungry.
Yeah.
That's what you want, so messy at football game. Yeah. You're a sausage roll fan, aren't you? But like, I love a pasty.
Something that you're going to end up finding bits of in your jacket.
Especially if you're drunk at 2 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah, we looked
up. Won't need food, just a beer.
Fairly close to the backseat there, so that's
true. Yeah,
right,
yeah. It's not too far, is it?
Just over the hedge from that game is the aforementioned Governors Athletic hosting Rycob. I'm going to go for Gov's win because, you know, I like to support them occasionally.
Occasionally. I mean, well, at the end of the table, so Gov's are 11th, Rycob up in 8th. What's their home away form? They've not won an away game this season.
There you go.
So, then again, Gov's have not won a home game. So,
so
it's got a draw written all over it.
All.
Yeah. This might be the proper max score that Cam was talking about. I'm going to go 5-all.
5-all.
Yeah,
something like that. I'm going to go 1-all. I'm going to think it's going to be a low scoring, but they're going to draw.
I reckon Govs are going to win.
I'll side with you, bro.
There we go.
Come on, the Govs.
Pick a number, 1 or 2?
1.
Well, good. They've got the next one on the list anyway. Michael versus Jim's. Michael obviously lost last time out to Foxdale, a close game up there. They've got Jim's playing a visit this week. There's no Adam, so we can talk freely and openly about Jim's.
Yes.
Dave, how's their away form looking?
Who Jim's is away from? Or Jim's have won two of their away games, so, and they've lost three. So it's a bit of a false position for Jim's. So they're down in 10th, but they've only played seven games this season. They have almost a Foxtail curse. You know, Foxtail usually like this at this time of year. So, you know, they've got at least two games in hand on everyone else. If they win, then they're sort of mid-table. This one, though, I don't know. I think
it's hard to look past Michael.
They've got the goals. They've got Liam Kane banging them in. I think Michael wins.
I just think that attack, and it's a game like this, they'll want to get goals, won't they? They'll all be, all them attackers will be selfish, probably looking at this game and thinking we can get stat pad a few goals.
Yeah,
maybe.
Probably.
So I don't know. I think it'd be quite a comfortable Michael win.
Yeah, I think with Michael going to want to bounce back. Fox still not playing this week. They're not going to want Castletown opening up anything over them. I'm going to say Michael pick up, but I reckon it'll be close. I don't think James will get hard. I think it'll be a decent game, but
a good side in the day.
The final game in Europe's greatest league sees the lads from Malou make the trip up to
it is the best league in Europe, mate.
It is to the Nivison Stadium to face the mighty O's Onken, who are third, Dave? Fourth, Dave? Where are they, Dave?
Onken are fifth, but again,
fifth, Dave.
They've got games in hand. They've only played nine, whereas, like, say, Colby are 4 points ahead of them, but they've played. 5 points ahead of them, but they've played three games more. So it began a bit of a false position. So I think Onken's home form, they've won five and lost one. So Malou's away, what have they done? They've won one.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously Onken play this. They look really tidy team. They look like a team who should. It is the thing where, you know, we said about earlier how start of seasons, like three or four teams at the top of the league could win the Premier League. It's the same here, this. But Onken, to me, probably should do this.
I think it'd be an Onken win, but there's a bit more of an incentive for Molly to get a result here. If say if you go and score a hat trick to win the game, could be the next captain of the parish. I know they're looking for one.
I don't think it's not quite that sort of captain.
Okay, I thought maybe they were like, if someone like puts a marker down this month, maybe they'll be like, that guy's missing the load. That guy's the captain of the parish.
Just give it Fermi.
Yeah, exactly.
So are you saying you're going to angle for the captain of the parish in a few years?
One day,
Crosby,
right, of course. Yeah, don't want to lose.
Yeah, cheers for the talk. So we say Onken win?
Onken win, yeah.
Yeah. Dave, before we go there, Women's Full League Cup on Sunday as well, which I didn't put in your notes, but I've got them in mine.
Yeah. Got the fixtures here.
Yeah.
So we've got two games. Southern Derby, we've got Malou v Castletown at 10 past 2 at the ball, and then it's Corinthians v Peel at 3:40. So, could be a tasty one, that Southern Derby.
Yes, Tom, I can see you pointing at it. And
yeah, that's...
Very good subtlety. obviously, Tom, you played in the inaugural soccer aid this week for Lukey's aid. Just tell us a bit about the game, what happened, obviously.
I won't go into too much detail, obviously, we're probably short for time, but I just think it was a really, really good game for... A really good charity. I think Lucas Steiner, everyone wasn't expecting it. It came out of the blue, and it's obviously very emotional for everyone. All the family being there, really nice. And these are just looking at the pitch now. Everyone played with Lucas. We did a Moran team that he played with all through his juniors, which he was brilliant at. He kept me out of the first team, normally. I was in the B team a fair bit of time, but I played with him a lot when I got called up. And then the Ireland team that he played in as well, they were all there. And so it was looking around, it's just like playing with your mates, basically. But really, really nice. Moran lost 3-1, but it was all for the charity,
all
for a good cause on Tuesday, and it was quite emotional. If anything, it was a really good day.
And you didn't give away a penalty, did you?
I didn't. Harry Barton did, but Dean Turn tried to pin me on that, but he said I looked guilty, and I said I look guilty all the time. I apparently look guilty.
But you were man mark of Dean Pinnington. That was tough must game, have been an easy one.
Yeah, it wasn't easy. They had a couple of FCL members there. I know they had Callum Sherry in there as well, and. Fitzy scored a screamer as well. He lobbed Barton, which I did actually enjoy conceding. That's probably the only goal I've conceded from around where I've gone, unlucky Barton.
Raised about £4,000, doesn't it?
£4,500. I'm actually, there's going to be something in the courier about it as well, but yeah, just thought we'd mention that in because it was really nice of Lucas.
Well, keep an eye on that. Well, with that, the clock is ticking down, Dave. Four official hasn't held his board up yet, but can you please help us run down that clock in Combi Corner?
Well, it's a very short Combi Corner this week. Only one game went ahead last week. So the match in question was Canada Life Combination 1. Reigning champions Russian United defeated St Mary's at the ball. Joe Kelly led the way for the Spaniards with a brace and was joined on the score sheet by Leo Trigurtha in a 3-0 victory.
Fantastic, Dave. We should really consider paying you 1 week.
No. As if for the love of the pod.
Of course.
The love of the pod.
There's a t-shirt.
That's a t-shirt.
Yeah, it's a t-shirt.
We've already got Adam's. In fact, we'll put up the picture of Adam on his t-shirt. sorry, Cam, we'll have to cover you up for this one. Coming over there.
I'm a firm believer in 100% records.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which we've got on a t-shirt, which is not available.
Has anyone asked him what he meant?
I don't think he knows, to be honest.
No, he finished and immediately went to us. I don't know why I said that. So there we go. Dave, the other important part of your week. It's time for Dave Reads the Weather.
Dave Reads the Weather! It's looking a lot more promising on the weather front this weekend. Today, Friday, will be cloudy but generally dry. Saturday is set to be dry with some bright or sunny intervals, so... fingers crossed we won't get many postponements this week.
Good chance of football. That's what we want to hear, isn't it?
What was the other extended forecast last week? I think it said 90% chance that Tom would get arrested in Amsterdam.
Did it happen? No.
What the hell?
Well, not that I've told you.
they've kept your passport, haven't they?
Yeah.
European search warrants don't actually extend to the parachute ground.
Just as well.
Yeah.
It was a long time being out there, to be fair. I was glad to be getting home. I wanted a walk on Tuesday, just making sure everything was right.
I'm very grown up if you tell me.
The streets are safe.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what could happen in my absence. Well, someone's got to...
Well, three benches went
missing. Three benches did go missing.
This is not the time to go into this.
Right. Yeah.
Any other business?
No, I was going to mention Lucky's, you see, but it's already been done. So yeah. I don't think there's anything more.
Yeah, well
you mentioned FC Alamann obviously not playing this weekend.
Yeah.
We'll mention something that's not happening. To be fair, we've done that a lot recently, postponements. So this is it now. This is us for the league, at least, until Christmas. Mm. So this is us kind of celebrating the birth of the baby Jesus.
Yeah.
But it isn't, Dave.
We've got a wonderful special coming next
week.
We've
got a Christmas special coming. Mm. We're going to film that. On a secret date in a secret location.
We can only apologise for Tom's behaviour. I mean, we say that every week, but you know,
we're having a few drinks then.
Well, absolutely.
So we're having a few Christmassy drinks.
And keeping with the theme, isn't Andy making some snowballs? So he's making some
One thing I am concerned about is us getting a little bit over the top and maybe not wanting to publish it. But it'll be fine. I'm panicking.
It'll be fine.
Yeah. Just blur out some bits.
So hopefully that Christmas quiz, which you know you'll be able to play along with at home when it's coming out, when it drops, will be out. At some point in the next week or so, we've also got the Railway Cup. Hopefully, we'll have a Railway Cup special before Christmas, so we've got a lot to do before then. But for now, Cam, thanks for joining us.
Yeah,
and Dave.
Good luck with the first point next month, mate.
Thank you.
Yeah, just another message for everyone to get in touch with you, basically.
Yeah, we'll promote that.
Thank you guys for having me on. Nice. Appreciate the time and the space.
Mm-hmm. And Dave, on that bombshell.
Ta-ta for now.